You're listening to the Shared Security Show, exploring the trust you put in people and technology with your hosts, Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 256 of the Shared Security Show. And joining me this week are my non-AI generated co-hosts, Scott Wright and Kevin Johnson.
We are real, the real thing.
I'm glad you're the real thing.
How do you know I'm real? Maybe I'm, what is that? There was this mobile app that I got advertised. It's like a replica or something. And it was like, when it first got advertised, it was like, here's your AI friend, and you can talk to them.
Yes, you can. It's like your new best friend, right? Through an app or something? Yeah.
And I saw it, and I'm like, oh, that, I'm curious how that runs. But I never installed it. I thought about it. Now, I keep all the ads I've seen about it are, why talk to it? You can get nude photos from your AI best friend. You can sex talk with it or whatever. And I'm like, that went off the cliff quick.
That changed very quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, dang. And I'm aware that like the algorithms put the thing. I don't know why it would think I would want an AI friend to talk sex talk to me. I'm not even sure if talk sex.
I don't know why you'd want an AI friend to begin with, Kevin, but.
Oh, no, I don't have any real friends.
Well, the AI obviously scanned all of Kevin's profiles and decided that's what he needed.
He must need real friends because.
That's right. That's right. So we have some interesting stories this week on the tail end of our ChatGPT episode, which was quite fun. But first, we want to talk about Apple and how Apple is considering giving outside app stores access to its iPhones and iPads in the European Union to compete with a new competition law.
Let's be clear. They're not considering it. They're being dragged down that path.
They have no choice.
And here's what I find so funny about it is, I'm seeing all these people talk about like, oh, this is awesome. I'm so thrilled Apple is willing to do this and Apple's doing the good thing. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Apple's not doing a good thing. But Apple did not, out of the goodness of their heart, say, you know what we should do? We should open this up. And here's how I can prove that. They're only doing it in the EU. If they really were trying to say, you know what, we shouldn't be as dictatorial as we are in our own environment and ecosystem, which, by the way, I'm fine with them doing. Like, if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. But if they were really doing it from this aspect of, well, maybe we're not as greedy capitalists, then they would be opening it across the board. They're doing it because of regulation. And we can argue whether or not regulation makes sense or if it's good or whatever, but I'm tired of seeing all the people that are like, oh, good for Apple. Yeah. They're such good people.
There's something I worry about though.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, the security of like if having the apps that are able to get through the other app stores, right?
It's like jailbreaking your phone now, right?
Yeah.
Let's be clear. Like, we see malware on the Google Play Store often enough, right? But we've also seen malware on the iOS store, Apple store, less often, right? Yeah. I'll accept that. But I'm not completely convinced of this idea that the Samsung store is inherently less secure than the Google Play Store. I'm not convinced of
that. Interesting.
I will totally agree that the Kevin Professionally Evil store is probably not a good idea to install.
Yeah, don't go there. Yeah.
Right. But you see what I mean? I don't buy the argument, and I've never bought the argument that Apple has, that they are doing this for the security of the phone. They're not. They're doing it for the 30% they make from every sale in a device. Period.
Yeah. I was a little surprised to see it's 30% commission. I mean, that's a lot.
Oh, you didn't know that? It's always been 30% commission. As a matter of fact, that's why you can't buy books in the Amazon app. You can't buy Kindle books in the Amazon app. You have to load the browser and go to it because Amazon isn't willing to pay that 30%. Yeah.
It's the same thing with Audible, which is part of Amazon now. But you used to actually with Audible, if you have credits, like if you're on a program where you get credits every month, you don't actually have to go buy them on the browser. You can do it from within the app. So But yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it's development. It's always been 30%. It's 30% plus the fees to get in, right? Like, yeah, I apologize. I guess apology is not the right word. I just assumed everybody knew it was 30%. It's
I didn't, Kevin.
Well, you're obviously not.
I'm out of the loop. I know. Apparently, I was
talking about this podcast is so informative. Even Tom can learn things from it.
I know. Exactly. This is so great. This is why I love having you guys. I know, because you educate me. So
I don't know if I educated you. I think you read that 30% in the article that you sent to everybody.
That's right. Yes, true.
By the way, I don't think I've ever said this, but I am absolutely impressed and thankful about the amount of effort you put in up front to gather stories and stuff for the show. I was talking to Jason, one of the three people that owns Secure Ideas, and I was talking to him in prep for coming on here. And I said to him, Tom always comes up with really does this extra stuff. I just want to say that.
I don't think we
acknowledge often enough that if people think this podcast is good, it's because Tom collected good articles. If you think it sucks, it's because I say random shit.
Yeah, just go back to the first 40 episodes where I think I produced them.
No, please don't go back.
they were all just audio, but they were terrible. Yeah, don't go there.
Well, thank you guys. That means a lot to me. I really appreciate that. Today's podcast is brought to you by NordLayer. NordLayer safeguards your company's network, but it's much more than just a VPN for business. As you already know from our show, business networks today are more vulnerable than ever due to remote work, ransomware attacks, and data leak incidents. Well, NordLayer secures and protects remote workforces as well as business data and can even help you ensure security compliance. Simply go to nordlayer.com/sharedsecurity and get 1 month free. NordLayer is easy to start as it takes less than 10 minutes to onboard your entire business on a secure network. NordLayer is easy to combine as it's hardware free and compatible with all major operating systems. And finally, NordLayer is easy to scale as you can choose a plan unique to your business requirements and your rate of growth. If you want to secure your business network, go to nordlayer.com/sharedsecurity to get your first month free. All right, well, let's go into our next segment, which is Aware Much.
Yes, thanks, Tom. So it seems like AI apps are kind of taking over the news cycle. They're everywhere. Lenza is an AI app that creates colorful custom cartoon images for avatars. And I guess in the past week or two, 4 million people have downloaded it and paid like $8 million, I guess, for premium service or something. I'm not sure if that's how it works, but
that sounds like a lot, but it's $2 each, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, it's a lot of money.
Oh, it is a lot of money. Yeah. I'd like $1 million.
So, is this the idea of, uploading your own picture and having it transformed and stuff like that, is this a good idea? There are some privacy risks, presumably. So I guess the first thing that comes to mind is biometrics. Like you've got all your facial information is there and could be used to, to impersonate you probably. But what do you guys think? What's the key issue here?
I think the big issue is, again, the privacy policy in terms of service, right? That nobody reads. And I think this applies to any app. But what I find interesting about this is, first of all, it's extremely popular, extremely viral right now. So in fact, I even used it to create a new profile picture that I uploaded to my Mastodon account just recently. And I thought it was just fascinating. I mean, I love the app. It's really cool. But I did take some time and I read the privacy policy, read the terms of service. And of course, it's got the language that can be a little scary, right? They have all rights to your photos if they want, just like all of these apps, right? There's definitely things in there that you could probably be concerned about. But like any of these apps, you have to either accept the risk that, hey, I understand what I'm getting into, and so I accept that, or you just don't use the app. And so a lot of people just don't take the time to understand what is it that you're giving your face or your data or what have you. with these viral apps.
Honestly, I think that's the, there's two things that really struck me about this app and this article, and I have not used it. I've seen all of the, oh, here's my new profile, here's this and everything else like that. And it's funny because I absolutely would have installed this and run it, except I'm in the middle of working through the final steps of a project we've been working on for almost a year. So I'm too dang busy to play with it. Or I would have. I think the core thing that you all have said is correct. I 100% agree with it. It's really just a matter of, have you paid attention to what you're doing? Are you okay with the risk level? Everything else like that. What struck me as interesting that I did not realize with this one is the idea of the fully nude images coming out of it. That, like, I had heard from some people, friends, that they, like, okay, I got my picture done and it made my breasts large, or it sexualized my body or put me in a pose that I wouldn't have wanted to be in. And I thought to myself, oh yeah, that sucks. I can see that. I can, like, and not trying to diminish it, but if I take a picture of myself and you sexualize the picture, that, I mean, one, that's really gross because look at me, but nobody wants to see this, right? But what blew my mind that this to me is something that I think needs a little bit more attention.
It's very concerning. I agree.
Is that the app, like, one of the people in the article, one of the contributors to the article on Wired, she had uploaded headshots only, she said. And she got back full body nudity coming back, like her face on an animated naked woman. And that surprised me because every example I've seen of the app, and again, I've not used the app, I'm only doing this based on friends who have used it, is that it's, okay, here's my face, and now here's my face as, you know, whatever. Right. I had not realized that it would actually inject your face into full body, whether naked or not. So I think, like, I really think the biggest issue here is not a privacy issue. The biggest issue here is the fact that people are, you know, like, hey, I put this in as a fun thing and I got a naked Kevin. Nobody needs a naked Kevin. And all joking aside, but, you know, if you take a person who's been sexually assaulted, somebody who's had revenge porn where they put it out there, and they go into this fun little app and all of a sudden they're getting naked pictures of themselves back, whether it's really them or not, right? Obviously it's not. Yeah. That traumatizingness.
Absolutely.
I don't know another way to put that. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. And there's an abuse element too, right? I mean, you could take somebody else's picture and basically create this stuff.
Right. And okay, I have that person that I've always fantasized about or something. Let me generate sexualized pictures of them.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can, like I said, I don't know if you can go to the app and say, only show me naked pictures, but that type of abuse of the app, that's where I think the biggest risk is.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think that's actually an easy thing for them to fix, right? Okay, you know what? We're gonna train the system to not return full body pictures of somebody who has a headshot.
Why do you have to train it? Why is it even there in the first place? Like, I mean, what's the point of having
nudes
coming back to people?
Well, the thing is, it's part of the training set, right? If you train it with full body images, that is a result. It's not like the developer of the AI system said, you know what? Let's add the nude flag on this thing. They trained it on data, and let's be blunt, people are sending nudes to this thing. Okay.
Yes, yeah. It learns whatever is being sent to it. So when people are doing this that have, you know, ill intent, let's just say, this is what's kind of happening. So, and I think that is one of the issues we're seeing this with other AI, even ChatGPT. It is learning from what you give it. And if that input is bad or malicious in a way, it's going to use that in its model. And that's one of the limitations that I currently see with this technology is, how do you filter out this negative or potentially dangerous type of content?
I always joke, go back to the very first example of this that I remember, and that was the Twitter bot from Microsoft that became a Nazi racist within, I guess that's right.
I remember right? that.
Like, was it like 20 minutes after it went online?
Yeah.
And it was like spewing Nazi propaganda and stuff. And like Microsoft shut it down immediately. And people were like, oh my God, can you believe Microsoft did that? And it's like, no. Y'all did that. You all taught it. That's the right way to be. You know, when AI reflects the disgusting in humanity, we all should be convicted.
So, great story. Great, lesson, I think, to consider. So this installment of Aware Much has been brought to you by ClickArmor, the security awareness training program that makes training more engaging, fun, and effective for employees. So when you guys scan systems for security weaknesses, I think you like to scan all the systems, right, that are in scope, not just some of them.
We would hope, yes.
But if you scan a system and you get nothing back, what does it tell you about the security configurations? Not much, right? You might conclude it's not doing a lot of bad things, but I don't know if it's doing things properly completely. So when it comes to humans, though, we can scan a lot of people, but we don't always get data back. You know, when we do live phishing simulations, we get click rates and we get report rates. And sometimes that's useful, and it can be done in a way that's okay. And we can do that at ClickArmor if you need us to. But that said, the coverage and assurance that you get from live phishing simulations could be improved. And so that's what we do with ClickArmor. We have really good data that actually adds to, you know, you might get 5% click rate from a live phishing simulation. You might get 30% report rate. Some people will say 50 or 60. That's pretty good. But overall, what we have is we have customers that have 98% completion of all the training that they've been given. Their entire team's been doing it for over a year, and they're still at like over 90%. And from that, we're actually giving immersive simulation data, which means people have made many, many decisions about phishing emails that they've seen in simulations. And so we're giving a lot richer data. So I just wanted to sort of mention this idea of assurance, data assurance, and what you're actually learning about the systems or humans that you're scanning. You really want to get data from as many as you can and get as much useful data from them. So that's what we call optimized phishing simulations, the combination of live simulations as well as immersive ones. So it's really good data that complements each other, and I'd love to be able to show you guys how that works. So give us a check. Check us out at the clickarmor.ca website, and we'll show you how that works.
So our last story of the week is, surprise, another AI story.
But this one is different.
This is a little different. So a group of four graduate students from Wuhan University in China have developed a coat that they claim is invisible to AI-powered security cameras. So this is kind of cool. They call it the Invis Defense Coat. And it features a camouflage print designed by an algorithm that eludes visible light cameras. So what happens at night when cameras usually detect, you know, somebody through like thermal imaging, the coat will emit different temperatures, which basically throws off the AI cameras, basically making you invisible. And they said that the coat has actually reduced detection by about 57% so far in their tests, which is interesting. So if you've always wanted an invisible cloak to walk around in, this might be your solution.
And I'm sure the Chinese government will be investing a lot in this.
Yes, they are. In fact, that's what they said at the end of this article, that they are actually doing this to improve AI detection capabilities. So there you have it.
And one of the things that I think is important to remember when you look at things like this, because I've had this conversation with multiple people, like, oh, what is the hotel lady? She was famous.
Hemsley?
She's named after a city.
Paris Hilton? No?
Paris Hilton. Thank you. Paris Hilton. I just saw a picture of her recently where she was wearing an anti-paparazzi scarf. Like it was a scarf that was designed that when the flash went off, it would reflect so much light back.
Oh, that's cool.
At it.
Yeah.
Right. And here's the big difference between that and the invisibility cloak that I, based on the article, you're not actually invisible in the invisibility cloak. The video still has your face. They still have the ability to take that recording, feed it to another system as they improve the AI stuff. With the scarf that Paris Hilton's wearing, basically, because it's reflecting light back so brightly, it makes it harder to actually see you in the image.
Yeah.
That's actually closer to an invisibility cloak. I hate to say it like that. Right. And that's the thing I worry about when, not worry, but you know, people I talk to, they're like, oh, I'm gonna do that, because it's like the makeup that you remember we talked about that?
Yes.
I don't know, a few months ago, right?
Yeah.
Where you could put certain makeup patterns on your face. All these things are doing are throwing off the filters and sensors,
yeah.
That say that's a face, that's a human, that's a person. The video still gets you. The video still has you. They still have a record of you being there. And that I think is, I don't know, maybe I'm being pedantic, but that I think is so critical. I actually think the better option, if you don't want to be seen like this, is mask. Wear a mask. We have normalized the idea of wearing a mask. Wear a damn mask. Because I actually, I'm not a very private person. You want to know where I am, I'll tell you where I am. You want to, but I see a good reason not to have random cameras everywhere tracking every place I go. But this cloak isn't going to solve that. Right?
Yeah.
This cloak is just going to make it harder for them to determine who I am automatically.
Yeah. It's another kind of cat and mouse game when it comes to those sensors and filters.
Right? Absolutely. I mean,
the technology is going to get better. The counter technology is going to get better. And so maybe today the Paris Hilton method will work better. Maybe tomorrow it won't.
Yeah. And I will tell you that the thing that really, this is what the second or third article we've talked about, Chinese students building anti-AI technology. And I believe I'm correct that in every case, they were funded by the Chinese government in a goal to improve detection, not.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like if you heard, you know, these MIT students in Massachusetts have come up with a way to defeat AI. I bet you there's a higher chance that they're doing it to defeat AI.
Yeah,
that's right.
And that I think is so important to remember is that.
Yeah. Yeah. We can't forget about how the Chinese government works and how they have control and oversight over the universities and the corporations. And it is the largest surveillance society that exists. It's the stuff of legends, right? So, well, great stories this week, guys. And I do want to tell everybody that we have surpassed 800 subscribers on our YouTube channel. So thank you very much for all of our recent subscribers. Much appreciated. And we would love to get to the 1,000 mark by the end of the year. So if you did not subscribe to our YouTube channel, please hit that subscribe button. We would much appreciate it. All right. Well, until next time, gentlemen, I bid you farewell. And to everyone else, we will talk to you all again next week.
May the AI be with you.
May the AI be with you.
And forever and ever. Yes. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app, or leave us a rating and review. To catch all the latest from the show, visit our website, sharedsecurity.net, for all show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter at SharedSec and join our Reddit community on the Shared Security Show subreddit. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week for another episode of the Shared Security Show.